today on Real Radio.
If I had one more chance to speak to you, I would stress to you today, now is the acceptable time. Why? Because God made today the appointment.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the first two verses of chapter 6 today, where Paul uses part of Psalm 49 to demonstrate that now is the day of salvation. It's something we've all failed to communicate at one time or another, but of course, we still have opportunity. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, If I Had One More Chance.
Watch out how you hear the gospel. It's a very critical thing. There's a spiritual dynamic to receiving and rejecting the gospel. There's a critical formula, and it's spiritual. You can resist and resist the gospel until you've reached a point where you can't hear it anymore. And that is a very tragic moment. In Acts chapter 26, verse 24, the Bible says, Now as he thus made his defense, that is Paul, we get the word apology or apologetics from Paul's defense there at Caesarea. Festus said with a loud voice, that is to Paul, You are beside yourself. The word means detached. Paul, your brain's come off. You're crazy talking about being resurrected from the dead. Much learning has driven you mad. The word is where we get the word mania. You have become a maniac, Paul. You believe in the gospel of God, that God raises the dead and the examples through Jesus? Your head's become unplugged, Paul, and you've turned into a maniac if you believe these things. Listen, church, cheer up. Your family, your friends, your coworkers believe the same thing about you. Oh, man, accept Jesus Christ. He's eternal life. Eternal life? Are you crazy? Well, the weird thing about that is if some knucklehead knocks on their door and offers them eternal life, if they buy this crystal for $9.95 at their door, they'll say, cool, this is great. I've got eternal life, $9.95. The truth comes to them and they reject it. What is it to receive the grace of God in vain? What does that look like? Well, what about this? What does it sound like? We continue in verse 1. He says he pleads with them. We're pleading with you. He's calling all Christians at Corinth to get involved in the ministry. It's not only that. He's calling all people that hear the gospel to receive or to acknowledge Christ. The word plead here is an awesome word. It means to call near and to invite, to entreat. We are begging you. We're begging you. And then there's the word grace, charis. We are pleading with you not to receive the grace of God. What is that? God's affection. Isn't it amazing? Listen, church, listen. Everybody, the Bible announces that God has grace towards his creation, his created people, even the wicked sinners, wicked, murderous people. Look, I have a hard time with this next one. I'm a human. We are humans. I can deal with a lot of people's sins and stuff, but when it comes to a child molester, I lose it. I just can't handle that. And yet God in his mercy, he extends grace even to those kinds of animals. I mean, if I were God, I'd slay them on the spot. I would release an angel now. Boom! Yeah! I'm not God. God in his mercy extends grace in its favor. It's his favor. Affection. And the clock is ticking, by the way. And there's an hour coming when God will rescind his grace. And he'll, as it were, close up shop. That's a frightful moment. God's grace. All of us are here right now by God's grace. Did you know that? And think about it, as Christians, even as a non-believing world, you know how much grace it takes you and I? Just if we walk the best we can with Jesus today, how much grace it takes to get us through one day. Think about that. God's grace, his affection, his favor. The things that go on in our lives that we'll never know on this side of eternity, that God is working to spare us from tripping up or from goofing up. God knows. That's why you see people in their arrogance. Oh, I'm such a great Christian. I'll take care of it. Look out. I know all you guys failed in that area. I'll do it. Oh, my goodness. No, what you want to do is be absolutely as it were, wholly terrified at the feet of Jesus, saying, I can't even put my shoes on without your grace, oh God. To reject the grace of God is to push off his affection, to deny his love, to push him away. God is coming toward you to hug you, to hold you in his eternal, incredible affection, and you would push him away? The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect or complete by the flesh? You started out humbly seeking God, and now you think you're something? Be careful, you can fall from the grace of God, he's warning. Galatians 2:16, knowing, that word means grasping, laying hold of, digging your nails into, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Someone say amen to that. That is amazing. In Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. God's grace. The next thing we see, what does it look? What does it sound? What does it mean? Look at the third thing. What does it mean? Verse 1. We learn this also, not to receive the grace of God in vain, is to announce this. What does it mean? If you receive the grace of God in vain, maybe you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, but your life is no different from the world. You would say, I'm a Christian, but your life's not different from those who are not Christians. That's receiving the grace of God in vain. God gives you the grace, listen, to walk with him, not by the law. But if you reject that, you can still call yourself a Christian, but you're only calling yourself a Christian. It won't fly in heaven. You can tell people all you want you're a Christian. But remember, I've said this and I'll say it again. Imagine all those around your life and my life. Imagine all of them being deaf and they can't hear a word we say. They can only judge us by what they see. That's the truth. Forget about what people say. It matters not what people say if their life is different. If somebody says, hey, I'm a freaked out pornographer, and they live in their pornography, there's no contradiction there. Are you with me? What they say is true. Their lifestyle backs up their claim. If somebody says, I follow Jesus, but they're a pornographer or something else, now you have a contradiction. Are you with me? What they say is in disagreement with who they are by what they do. Very serious. You can receive the grace of God. What does that mean? But it means that you can hear the gospel. And you can hear that the gospel is, you're not going to go to heaven by keeping the law. Nobody can. You'll go to heaven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, what he did. If that doesn't change your life, you can hear the gospel. You can tell people about the gospel. But in private, you're nobody different than those who have not received the gospel. That is receiving the grace of God in vain. It's a very serious and sobering thing. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, listen to this, because Satan knows this. He's powerful in this area. He has great victory, has a history of victory in this area of contradiction. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, watch what he did. Again, the devil took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan says that to Jesus in the wilderness temptation of Judea. It's interesting, Jesus didn't fight Satan back about his claim. Remember, the Bible says Satan is the Lord of this world right now. He actually has the authority to hand over the kingdoms of this world. That's why the temptation of Satan against Jesus in the wilderness was a real one. Jesus, though, thank God, yielded and submitted to the will of the Father. But what did Satan try to do? He tried to trip Jesus up by the allurement of this world. A friend of mine told me, and it's a good word, that Satan is a gradualist. He never moves big and loud and boisterous. It's always subtle. He can get miles by just inching in, getting his little foot in the door, one hoof in the door. Very slowly. Listen, he's fine with ruining your life over the course of the next 5 years. Getting to the point where you don't even recognize the dripping of his poison, of his acid in your life. You want to be careful. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Isn't that a good word? So listen, we want to be careful that we don't fall or reject the grace of God. Mark this down. Three things that are very serious about this receiving the grace of God in vain. Number one is rejection. To reject it on the grounds of, for example, "I can't believe this stuff. This is ridiculous." Rejection. Flat out rejection. Number two, neglect. On the grounds of, "I'm busy about trying to make ends meet. I'm raising a family. I've got bills. I've got issues. I don't have time for God." Neglect happens every day in people's lives. The third thing is willful ignorance. Willful ignorance is on the grounds of, "I'm just not getting this. I don't believe the message. I don't like the message. I think it should be some other way. I don't want to believe in Jesus. I don't want to come to God." It's a willful decision of, if it's true or false, I don't really care. I don't want anything to do with them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Proverbs 1, 24 says, "I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid me no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered." Verse 26, "So I will laugh when your trouble comes upon you. I will mock you when your disaster overtakes you," says God. Isn't that sobering? Luke 12, 8. "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men," Jesus says, "him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Acts 13, 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Isn't that sobering? It's tremendous. Point number two in our study today is this. Look at verse two. "If I had only one more chance to speak to you, I would stress that now is the acceptable time." Now, I love this verse, verse 2. I've used it so many times. As I mentioned last week, witnessing to people and church planting outreaches and stuff, this is one of my favorite verses. When you're witnessing to somebody and you come down to that moment of they've been listening, they've got questions, and you've come, you've answered them, you're standing there, and this is what I always say, and I always use this verse. I'll tell them, "In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do what the Bible says to do, and that is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get to that, I want to warn you, from this moment further, as we continue on and wrap up this discussion, you're going to start to feel very uncomfortable, my friend." And you just tell them straight up. Doesn't matter what country you're in. Doesn't matter what language you're speaking. You just tell them, "In a moment, you're going to start feeling very uncomfortable. Did you hear what I said?" And they'll say, "Yes, I heard you," or whatever it is, right? "I got you." And then you start closing the deal, so to speak, right? And you'll remind them. You'll see that in their eyes. You'll see them starting to get, it's awesome. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit starts to deal with them, and you can physically see it in their eyes and in their face. And that's when you come back and say, "No, wait. Do you remember I told you about 5 minutes ago that you're going to feel very uncomfortable? Do you feel uncomfortable right now?" "Yes, I do." That is the witness of the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, most often when people hear that at that moment, they start to cry. Big men, little women. Little men, big women. It doesn't matter. They start to cry. They just start. It's the power of God. It's beyond humanity. It's from heaven. Things begin to happen. Why? Because mark this down. God made today the appointment. He made today the appointment right here, right now. If in a moment I begin to close up this message today and you begin to feel a little bit uncomfortable, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's the Spirit of God taking His word and speaking to you. And it's beyond humanity. It's divine. If I had one more chance to speak to you, I would stress to you today, now is the acceptable time. Why? Because God made today the appointment. For He says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. The word acceptable means propitious. It means an approved moment, an appointed moment, a sanctioned moment of time by God. Listen, are you sitting down? Are you listening? Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave for the sins of the world, specifically yours and mine. Listen, did you hear what I just said? Anybody? Raise your hand if you heard that. Guess what? That was appointed by God in all time and eternity, that on this Sunday morning, you would hear it just a few moments ago. Every time we hear the gospel based on this scripture, God records it in a ledger. He heard the gospel again. He heard it again. And by the time someone stands in eternity without Christ and they're judged before God, God is going to say, you heard the gospel 463,000 times. And you neglected and you rejected and you pushed it off. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. And Paul says, it's for this reason I make this very time-sensitive statement. Now, he says, this day, this moment, God has made an appointment. Isn't that awesome? We take it so lightly, we better be careful. Even though we're going to heaven, that's already been settled. When we give the gospel, we better be careful. Jesus said this way, be careful that you don't cast your pearl before swine. There's people who don't want to hear. They don't want to hear it. Jesus says, just be quiet then. There comes a time when you just be quiet. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God would say, Jack, share with that person. Share with that person. Don't share with that one. Don't share with that one. Could you imagine? Can you imagine? Jack, there's hope. There's hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. Hope, hope, no hope, and no hope. The seriousness of that. In Isaiah 55, 6, God says, seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Such a critical moment. The Bible says when He, for example, I heard you. Look at verse 2. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. This is amazing. I'm going to freak out telling you this. Are you ready for this? Write this down. The word heard, I've heard you. This is what the word means in the original language. God has intent. What's that for? Devoted listening. God, devoted listening to you. It means to strain the ear. Listen. It calls for an action. Like this. Intentionally, God is saying, I'm listening to humanity. When the gospel goes out in the moment, God goes, when it's preached, my son on the cross and dies and resurrected from the dead, when it goes out, God says, I do this. I listen. Can you imagine? Gabriel, Michael, quiet. Tell the angels, no more holy, holy, Lord God. Stop for a moment. Listen, 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 listen. Did you hear something? Did anybody hear anything? Did you listen? Listen. Do you hear something? That's what the word means. God, not an angel. God is saying, listen, quiet in heaven. Listen, did anyone cry out to me? Is anyone crying out? Listen. Did you hear something? I thought I heard something. I thought I heard somebody. Can you believe this? Amen. Oh my, I have Boost Gumps, as my grandkids call them. Did you hear that? Paul is quoting Isaiah 49:8, which I think is awesome. He's given a bunch of Greeks Jewish scripture, which is exactly how it all works. God called them first. They are His chosen people. The custodians of the Bible are the Jews. The gospel first went to the Jews. But only through Jesus are you grafted into those promises if you're a Gentile. How cool is that? And Paul uses an Old Testament declaration from the prophet Isaiah 49, verse 8, and he says, there, the Lord has said in an acceptable time, I have listened for your cry. I've hushed heaven to hear you. And in the day of salvation, I've helped you. I'll pull you up. Just turn to me and I'll pull you up. Just turn ever so slightly to me and I'll grab you. He wants you with him so much. Secondly, in verse 2, now is the acceptable time because God made today the issue. God made today the issue. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. He's still quoting that 49th Psalm. But he's made today the issue, the very issue. Oh, I think, let's just go to church. There's nothing else to do. You think so. God is using the issues of your life to bring you to hear this moment. Maybe you're going to watch this over internet TV, or maybe you're going to watch this on some program. Maybe you're going to hear this on the radio. Maybe you're listening right now by podcasting or by the church app, teaching program. It doesn't matter. If you're hearing it now, listen, God is saying the issues of your life, the moment you hear the gospel, I'm using them for the right now. For this moment, there's no coincidences with God. He doesn't deal in a coincidence. He doesn't deal with them. That's not in his vocabulary. It's awesome. He's so amazing. God made today not only the appointment, he made the issues of our life, the very, very thing that he wants to use, the revelation of it, the visitation of it, the moment, the opportunity for you and I to accept Jesus Christ. He's speaking regarding the issues to our mental capacity. He's appealing to our spiritual nature that needs to be born again for some of you. And he's calling out with reason and with logic. He's asking you to think and to apply yourself. And he uses the word salvation. This is amazing. The word means, listen, a mighty rescue. Salvation means a great deliverance. The word salvation here means that he will save you by overwhelming you with the act of salvation. Nothing weak about how God saves. Nothing weak about it. And then the word help means, this is great. The word help implies that someone, in this case it's Christ, but he's invited us to do this, to run towards someone who's lost, carrying all of the aid and the relief necessary to rescue them. You think of a soldier, a warrior, a bomb goes off, and that soldier's got a 70-pound backpack, and he's got bandages, he's got blood, he's got everything, and he's running to the victims. He's bringing everything he can to save them. He's carrying everything from his realm, everything from his area of warfare, but he's coming to rescue. Isn't that an awesome picture? Jesus is saying, hey, let's go rescue souls, and you believers, come with me. And Paul is saying, yeah, awesome, Corinthians, stop goofing off, let's go. Join us in this. If I had one more thing to say, I would say, Christian, stop playing spiritual tiddlywinks and goofing off. People are dying. They're going to hell without the gospel. And God is saying, let's go. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and under are the his everlasting arms. He rescues. In the day of salvation, God scoops you up. Isn't that good news? I like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called If I Had One More Chance. It's a look at the first two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If I had one more chance, haven't we all thought that at one time or another? If I had one more chance is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. For what it's worth, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.